I thank all of you for coming out, and I welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been on my mind for several weeks now, even before Dan called and asked me if I would preach this morning about this sermon. God's been having it run through my mind and showing me things that I hadn't looked at before. So I'm going to talk to you about this goblet. I'm going to talk to you about being thirsty. I'm going to talk to you about the condition of your souls and the things that God expects from us, the things that He demands from us, the things that He desires from us. You ever been out in the desert where you don't have anything to drink? Or you ever been out working on a job where it's just hot and sunny and you've run out of any kind of drink? Have you ever done that in your life to where you want something to drink and your tongue is feeling like it's swollen and it's sticking to the roof of your mouth? And you can't hardly breathe down your throat because it's sticking together. Have you ever felt that thirsty? Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever been to where you know that your body is shutting down because you become dehydrated? I have. I've been in a couple of those situations. I've been actually dehydrated to the point to where my body was shutting down. I've been at work and run out of drink on a really hot day, and nowhere was there any place to get a drink that was close by, just very thirsty. I've even been out in the desert where there isn't any water to find that I could find, and being very thirsty. So I've experienced those things. Well, it doesn't compare to the thirst that we're going to talk about, but it's to give you an idea. Turn to Luke. It's the 16th chapter of Luke. And I'm going to start at the 19th verse. And this is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Notice the color of my shirt and tie and how well I'm dressed. Yes. I think God uses that as kind of His own little joke. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Randy talked about his donkey being, when his donkey was dying, and being covered in sores and the flies coming, and how much pain and suffering his donkey was going through. Well, think about Lazarus, how much pain he's in. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, and this is the rich man, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. How thirsty do you think that rich man was? I'd say he was a lot thirstier than I've ever been in my life. What kind of water do you think he was wanting to drink? I don't think he was wanting to just drink regular water. I don't think it was just a regular pool of water that he was wanting Lazarus to get him a drink from. This is Jesus Christ that's given us this story. And he knows more than anyone else what he was talking about. I'm thirsty, and I have prepared myself a drink. Now that I've talked about being thirsty, so if you'll just give me a moment, I'm going to pour me a little bit, and I'm going to take a swallow. Oh, and by the way, these are from downstairs. I did wash them and clean them and make them sparkly and shiny last night. That's one of the things that I was doing. So don't worry, it's very clean. If you're thirsty, I'm sorry, but I am going to take a drink. I'll share it with you if you want. Okay. That's good. That helps. I don't think it would help me if I was in the rich man's situation. It wouldn't cut the mustard. Wouldn't cut my thirst. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. You ever wonder why we have all of this stuff in the Old Testament? What's it for? You know, is it necessary? I hear people tell me when I talk to them about God and religion, and if I bring up anything out of the Old Testament, a lot of the times, the response that I get from them is, well, that's the Old Testament. It doesn't really matter anymore. Those things are done away with. We have the new law of Christ, so we don't have to bother with it. Well, we have the Old Testament for a reason. It's to give us wisdom, to help us understand the things that are happening to us have happened to people before. The things that are going to happen to us in the future are things that God has told people in the past about. In the 66th chapter of Isaiah, this is the last thing that Isaiah wrote down. I'm going to start at the first verse. It says, Thus saith the Lord, The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man, he that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. What kind of shape is the world in? Does it sound like God's talking about us today, humanity as a whole? Are we this way? Everything that we do is really an offensive thing to him? I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. The world as a whole is in the same situation as the rich man. The man that had everything in this life that money could buy. The fine purple clothes. The nice place to live. The world is fulfilling their own lusts and desires, and not thinking about what it is that God wants. And they're saying, it's okay. We don't have to do that anymore. Things have changed. God doesn't care if we do those bad sins. It'll all be all right. Isaiah's not the only one that wrote these things down. We do have others. In the second book of Nephi, chapter 12, we're going to read about the world today. It says in the first verse, and now behold, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according as the Spirit hath constrained me, wherefore I know that they must surely come to pass. And the things which shall be written out of the book shall be of great worth unto the children of men, and especially unto our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. And here we go. This is us. For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall everyone say that hath built up churches, and not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel, and they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear ye our precept. For behold, there is no God today. For the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precept. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles, he hath done his work. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. You ever hear churches talk like that? I doubt that you've ever heard it, people in this church talk like that. But I have heard other churches say these kind of things. People from other churches say these kind of things. And it's disturbing to hear him say it. Because it means that that day has come. The time is close at hand. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their work shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way. They have become corrupted. The blood of the saints, it actually does cry to God when people go against the things that he has told them to prophesy unto the world. The blood of the saints cries to God when people commit iniquity and sin and do horrendous evil on the face of the land. It does cry up to God. You can read the story of Jonah, and he tells you that the blood of the saints was crying to him. Read about Sodom and Gomorrah. The blood of the saints was crying up to him. Because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrine, their churches have become corrupted and their churches are lifted up. Because of pride, they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads. Yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err, because they are taught by the precepts of men. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all they that preach false doctrines, and all they that commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord. Woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Right along with that rich man that wouldn't help Lazarus, that thought he was better than anyone else, that thought that he was doing everything right. They'll be there with him. Now I need to ask a favor. I need three volunteers to come up. Preferably, I would like someone who's actually been baptized into the Church of Christ, so I know you won't be offended by anything that we're going to do up here. I trust that. Can I have just three, please, to come up and help me? Anyone? Ethan, thank you. Jake? Paul, great. Those were I was looking out, I didn't want to call your names, but those were the three that I wanted. Very good. Okay. I have before me three more goblets. And you, young gentlemen, are going to do me a favor. You're going to choose which goblet is going to be yours. Okay? And to make it as fair as possible, oh, it's in this book. I'm going to let you pick a number, 1 through 3. It's written down on these papers. You guys pick your number. And then you can choose which goblet is yours, all right? Okay, number 1, all right, don't lose your number. Number 2, number 3. Hold your goblets up so everybody can see. See how shiny they are? I cleaned them. I tried to clean them as best I could. I polished them. I wanted them to look good for this. Don't worry, I got more. Okay. Hold them up so everybody can see again. You got liquid in them. It's 100% pure spring water. God made it. Hasn't been touched by the hands of man, according to the guarantee that's on the bottle. We haven't done anything to it or polluted it in any way. It's all God created. All right? So those goblets, those glasses are yours. That's your liquid that I have put in there. Now, looks good. Take a drink. Tastes good? Wonderful. Okay. Very good. All right. This is a coffee can, but there's no coffee in here. What's in here is filth, dirt, sin. Okay, who was number one? You get to go first. You get to put a couple spoons of this. Yeah, stir it up. That. All right. Number one just put a bunch of sin into his glass, and that is nasty looking. Number two, unfortunately, you saw what number one did, and since you're not in control up here, I'm in control. You saw what he did, and you thought you wanted to try it too, so you're going to take a little bit of the water out of his glass and put it in yours. That's enough. Just a couple of spoons. Okay, hold your glasses up again. Number one's glass looks nasty. Number two's glass doesn't look too much better, but at least it's not as bad as number one. Number three's glass looks real good. Now, they're all shiny on the outside. They all look the same on the outside. Fortunately, we can see through the body of the glass and into the soul that's inside. Okay? One soul we can see is in bad shape. Number two soul is kind of nasty. Number three looks pretty good. Which glass would you want to be drinking from? Yeah, number three raised his. Cheers, he says. Okay, so number one, when you found out that you had committed sin and everybody could see it, how does it make you feel?
Dirty.
It makes you feel dirty, yeah. Number two, how do you feel about your glass and what's inside? Huh?
A little nasty.
A little nasty, yeah. Number three, how do you feel?
Clear.
You feel clear?
Clear.
Yeah? Feel good? Glad that you didn't make the same choices as number one and number two?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, what do you think is going to happen to them? Looking at the shape of their glass, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, they're probably not going to go anywhere too fun.
Not going to go anywhere too fun? Maybe they might end up where the rich man is?
They might be a little thirsty.
Might be a little thirsty, yeah. Yeah, because nobody's going to want to drink that. That is nasty. All right. Well, I'm sorry, number one and number two, but number three has, with a little bit of coaching, judged you. So number three, take a little bit of number two's water and put it in your glass. That's good. Hold your glass up, number three. It still looks pretty clear, doesn't it? Not too bad. You want a drink out of that? Let me tell you where I got this dirt from. I don't own my own house. I stole it from Daniel's backyard, right by the garbage can, so it's nasty. You want to drink that? No. Nobody wants to drink out of any of those glasses. Fortunately, you can clean the glass. Fortunately, those cups can be cleansed. They can be purified to where it'd be all right to drink out of them again. Go ahead and put them back on the table back there. And go ahead and just sit down right there for a moment. Each one of us in our lives commits sin. Whether it's a great big sin that everybody can see or it's a little bitty sin that no one can see, we still sin because we're human. And we might look good to each other on the outside, but because we can't see through our flesh and blood bodies, but God can, He can see what's in our soul. He can see if there's sin in there or not. And that's what's going to condemn us. Well, there's a way, like I said, you can cleanse the glass. You can cleanse the cup. But you can also cleanse the soul. You can take those glasses and you can put them in a Hobart, which is a commercial grade dishwasher. Or if you have a really nice fancy dishwasher at home that like can steam and all of that and heat and make it hot, those glasses can come out nice and clean and pure. And when you open up the door to the Hobart or the door to your dishwasher, the steam comes out and it's hot and you know that it's clean. Well, when we get to the point to where we understand what sin is all about and we realize that we have committed sin and we want to be cleansed, there's a way to do that. It's called baptism. You have to repent of the sin. You have to realize what sin is, and you have to have a desire in your heart never to do it again. That's repentance of sin. Then you can go and you can get baptized in water and baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. And you can become cleansed. Your soul, or that liquid inside the glass, can become pure and clean and sparkly again. And be something that anybody would be willing to take a drink of. So, stand up again, my three volunteers. Ta-da! You've all been baptized. You're all clean again. Because I didn't want you to go away feeling bad about yourselves. Here. Take a drink. Congratulations. You're clean. You're acceptable. You've been found honorable, worthy to be in the house of the Lord. Good job. Thank you. And just in case anybody can't see what happened, I had three more glasses or goblets that were cleaned and washed and prepared for them to have. I did it with my hands and with soap downstairs. But when God cleanses us, He does it a different way. He does it through His power, His might, and His understanding and wisdom, not ours. And it is a pure cleansing. You come out spotless and perfect, ready and able to stand before God and be judged and found to be worthy to be in His house. So what did the old people have to say about this? What did Moses say about this? Well, turn to Leviticus. This is one of the reasons why we have these things written down. It's to give us wisdom and understanding about what we're supposed to be doing with our lives at our point in time. Not just with Moses and those people that were with him back then, but it's for us too. Turn to the 11th chapter of Leviticus. In the 29th verse, it says, "These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise and his kind, and the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean even until the even. And upon whatsoever any of them when they are dead doth fall, it shall be unclean. And it says, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel it be wherein any work is done, it must be put into water. And it shall be unclean until the even, so it shall be cleansed." So you take your vessel, your cup, your body, you put it into the water until the even, and then it's cleansed of the sin. It's just what we do when we get baptized. You put it into the water. It comes out. You get baptized in the water, you get baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost, and you're cleansed. Gets rid of the uncleanness, gets rid of the sin. Exodus, the 39th chapter. I told them that they were welcome to be in the house of the Lord, that they were worthy. Verse 32 of the 39th chapter of Exodus. "Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they." They kept all of his commandments. "And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent and all his furniture, his tashes, his boards, his bars, and his pillars and his sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table, and all the vessels thereof, and the shewbread, the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, and the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver, and his foot." All of the vessels have been brought into the church, into the tabernacle of God. All of those vessels, in the 40th chapter, starting at the 9th verse, "And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy." They all had to be anointed. They all had to be anointed with the oil of God, his Holy Spirit, to be holy, to be worthy, to be found in the temple, in the tabernacle. As I said, we have a way to become holy. We have a way to become pure and ready to be standing in front of God to be judged. In John, the 3rd chapter, Jesus is talking to a man that knew all about the law of Moses. Jesus was talking to a man that knew about all the ordinances that had to be done for all the vessels to be found worthy to be brought into the tabernacle. His name was Nicodemus. The third chapter of John, the 3rd verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, to Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Turn to Matthew, the third chapter. You have to be born again. You have to become pure and cleansed. Third chapter of Matthew, starting at the 7th verse. John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All those that are found worthy will be gathered into his place. But all the others who are not found worthy will be burned up. When we were watching these young men get their vessels, because that's what they are really, it's a vessel in which we pour water. They were worried about which vessel they were going to pick, instead of the number that they were going to get. I don't know if any of them prayed and asked God for guidance in picking their vessel, or if they asked God for guidance in picking the right number. But when we go through our life and we have to pick and choose and decide what we're going to do, it's best to ask God to guide us in the choices that we make, so that we make the right choice. And even when we are watching other people make the wrong choice, like all of us watched them make the wrong choice, those of you that were out in the audience, did you think, wow, number three made it, and number one and number two, they're probably going to end up in hell with the rich man? Were you judging? Was I judging? I feel like, yeah, I judged. Should I have judged? No, because none of those volunteers had died in their sin. They had just committed sin. Could they be forgiven of it? Yes. Could they be cleansed and made whole? Yes. Just because there are people out there that are sinners doesn't mean that they're going to end up in hell. They have a chance to repent before they die. If they repent, then they're no longer sinners. And they get to be in his temple. It's only when you die in your sins without repenting of them that you don't get to be in his temple, and you end up where the rich man was, thirsty. In Acts, the 10th chapter, Peter had a problem with just that situation. And most of the Jews had the same problem. Starting at the ninth verse, this is Peter's vision. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. Another vessel, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." You ever argue with God when he tells you to do something? Well, I have. It's not a good idea. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice. Three times did this happen. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God hath shewed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have ye sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "This was an unclean man." He said, "Four days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God." This is a sinner talking. Someone who wants to know what he has to do to repent and become pure, clean and worthy to stand before God in his house. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give him all the prophets, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. All the prophets witness of Jesus Christ. Even Moses and the things that he had the people do to prepare the tabernacle, witness of Jesus Christ. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So yeah, even sinners can be cleansed. So, you've been cleansed, you've been baptized, you're brand new, you're sparkly, shiny inside and out. How do you stay that way? Sixth chapter of Moroni. And now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized, and they were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit, meat, that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. How's your determination going? You still want to serve him? You still want to be good? You want to go out and take part in the things that the world has to offer? The things that the world says it's okay? Do you want to keep God's commandments or not? And after that they had been received unto baptism, were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ, and their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. That's why we have church. It's not because we're all a bunch of sinners. No, we are the children of Christ. We have taken upon us his name, and we meet together here and in other places throughout the world in his name to help each other, to remember to stay on the path, to remember not to commit sin, to help each other have faith through our testimonies about the things that God has done for us. Just like the testimony of Cornelius, having the angel come to him and tell him that he needs to have Peter come to his house. What a beautiful testimony that is. go to 2 Timothy. It's the second chapter of 2 Timothy, starting at the 19th verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Meet together oft. If we do these things, God made a promise to Isaiah. Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and we're going to go from 13 all the way through. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For, behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. The sword of the Lord. It's both of these books. He is pleading with us with this sword to turn to him, to come to him, to be numbered among his children. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, in the midst eating swine's flesh and the abomination, and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Yeah, all the sin. All those who died in their sins shall be consumed. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my name, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. We are doing that this day. All over the world, we are doing that, declaring his glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters, upon mules and upon swift beasts, say to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Every day, we will worship the Lord together in his temple, in his house. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. like that poor rich man that just wanted a drink of water. Thank you again so much for coming out today.